Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. How are you, Australia? Well, you better be careful this morning, because you will need to really be attentive, and you need to be here with your spirit, soul, and body before you can understand what I say. Because as you see, I don't look Australian at all. So I don't speak Australian. So I speak whatever you call it. I don't even know what I speak any longer. Is it British, Nigerian, or Russian English? So you really need to, you know, pay a lot of attention if you want to get to where we are going. Well, good morning, everybody. How are you all doing today? Well, it's been an awesome conference. I was here last night. It's incredible to see what this local church is doing, what God is using this local church to do to reach this country. It's unbelievable that you are not located in Canberra, your capital. Canberra, you are not in Sydney, and you are not in Melbourne, but you are doing all this, affecting the nation from the very down south of the country. It's amazing. From down below, changing down below. You know, I'm so much proud of you. And what I saw here confirms to me what God is doing all over the world is just the same thing. He's raising up apostolic governmental churches, governing churches in the nations of the world. It's not enough to just have a great church. It's not enough at all. I do conferences called Pastoring Without Tears all over the world. And I always challenge pastors, saying, you know, you choose what you want. Do you want to have a big, are you satisfied just having a big church or a great church? But those are not even enough. But I am not satisfied neither with a big church or a great church. I want to change a nation. And that's what it's about. You know, raising up governing and governmental churches that are able to speak to the destiny of a nation and change the course of a nation from ungodliness to righteousness. And change the course from evil to godliness. Hallelujah. And I could see the mark of that upon your ministry. It is great. And as a representative of the church from Europe, East, West, we have churches in Western Europe, all over Europe and Eastern Europe. I just want to appreciate your great effort for putting this conference together and the great work you're doing from this place. And as one of God's servants, I just want to pay salute, homage to you, Pastor Ashley, and your wonderful wife. You're doing excellently well. And it's just the beginning. The greater days are yet to come. In Jesus' name. Well, get ready. Buckle up. Because some of you are hearing me for the first time. And it's just a privilege for me to be here again in Australia. I was with Pastor Mark in Brisbane 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And that was my first experience having, you know, doing the COC annual conference. But this is my second time of coming to Australia. It's good to be back. Of course, I'm still a little bit dreaming and drowning because of jet lag. But that is good. At least that will slow me down a little bit. But before we go into the message of today, I will appreciate it so much if you will. Of course, I want to bring you greetings from my wife and our church in Kyiv, Ukraine. As I was coming in, one of the security guys just told me, I was just in your church. I just came back last week from Kyiv. So it's an awesome church. And of course, some of you must have heard a little bit about our church. I just feel it will be appropriate for me to take you on a journey to see this church in the Ukraine. I mean, and again, I want to use the opportunity to thank the Australian church. You have invested so much in the revival that God is, you know, now working out in the Ukraine and the former Soviet Union, the AG, COC, all the denominations, CCC, all the main move in this country. You have really done, you have put a lot into the move of God in the former Soviet Union. When the wall came down, you know, we had a helping hand from all the major leading churches in this country. And I want to say, this thing you are going to see, this video you are going to see, is just a sign for you to believe that actually your prayers are never in vain. And whatever you are doing, where you are praying concerning the Arab world and China and other parts of the world that looks like it's impossible at this moment, it doesn't matter how it looks at present, but it matters what you pray through. And, you know, I want to say this thing you are seeing here is not a work of a man. And, you know, especially a black man in Russia. Bet you. You need to be black and live in Russia before you know what it means. So it is no joke. It is definitely. It is. It is definitely a God's work and God's hand. And so I want to say it is your work also. It is your labor too. Just like it is the labor of everybody who has prayed for the former Soviet Union over the years, all over the world. So I'm going to take you on a little short trip, 5 minutes trip to the Ukraine. I hope you enjoy the journey. Bless you.
Хотел Господь, мое тело исцелил, душе не изменил, спасение, добрый я буду славить тебя и Бог, каждый день буду славить Его.
The Embassy of the Blessed Kingdom of God for All Nations is one of the largest evangelical churches in Europe. It has more than 20,000 members in Kiev and about 50,000 members in other countries. The church founder, Pastor Sunday Adelaja, is the author of more than 50 books about Christian life.
I believe that Pastor Sunday Adelaja is the closest thing I've ever seen to someone fully committed to the purposes of God.
The basic purpose of his ministry is to raise up strong leaders that will be able, in their turn, to raise up other leaders. This is the reason why 14 Bible schools and institutes have united in the Embassy of God Spiritual Academy. Thousands of graduates have gone out to various countries. More than 300 churches are under the Embassy of God. 218 of them are in Ukraine, and 113 abroad. Only 34 branches of the Embassy of God hold their meetings every Sunday around the city of Kiev. This is the house of God where I serve. This is my family. I feel I am needed here. This is the place where I can realize my potential. For me, the church is my whole life. I have life, happiness, and love here. This is the place where I feel very comfortable. I always can come here and find joy. I found the real family of God. Influential politicians, members of the parliament, and municipal deputies are all members of the Embassy of God. By acting according to Christian moral principles, they influence the legislative authority of Ukraine. Every day in the parliament, I speak more and more about God. The church must be a leading force of the society. Many who were unemployed before coming to the Embassy of God and due to the pastor's work have now started their own businesses. In the Reformation Business Academy, qualified specialists hold seminars on how to do honest business. The businessmen of this new generation now build their work on biblical principles. This is why support for family-style children's homes, hospitals, and boarding schools are an essential part of their activity. In order to solve manufacturing problems, advice bureaus in the factories have been established. The charity center, Stefania, is sponsored by the businessmen of the Embassy of God. Every day, more than 1,500 homeless and needy people receive a free hot meal.
Oh.
прославляйте Его, все берега, ибо милость Его нам велика. Стена Господня в обе, ибо милость Его нам велика. Сюда Господня.
Every year, the Love Rehabilitation Center holds the March of Life against AIDS. During its existence, more than 3,500 alcoholics and drug addicts have received a normal life. God has set me free from alcohol, and now I have a dream and calling. I was a drug addict for 5 years. God has given me freedom and a sense of life. The qualified counselors of the Trust Hotline help those who have found themselves in crisis situations. During its 5 years of existence, more than 70,000 people have been consulted. Precautions about negative social problems among scholars and students have become one of the most important directions of the Embassy of God's activities. Many teenagers are won and saved by this work. Hundreds of children are rehabilitated and brought back home. The Embassy of God runs the complex program of solving family problems. The work of the Marriage Preparation School and Advice Bureaus is directed to equip and prepare people for marriage. The Embassy of God continues to work on the subject of spiritually moral family planning. Women's groups are arranged where pregnant young mothers can get necessary psychological help. The qualified consultants are working on the psychological consequences of abortion and AIDS prevention. In the men's groups, husbands are helped to take their proper place in the family and society. The annual men's conference draws thousands of men, not only from Ukraine, but from abroad as well. This is the place where I can find God. The church is the life I am living now. The raising up of Christian morals and ethics is the main direction of the youth social organizations of the Embassy of God.
Things we have seen are so great, and we'd like to transfer something like this to Greece, where we have started a church, AWC Athens Worship Center, and we'd like to see Greece being blessed as you pray. You're a great example.
Through the TBN and Revelation TV satellite channels, Pastor Sunday's preaching is heard by more than 200 million people. The branches of the Embassy of God are functioning in more than 300 cities and villages of Ukraine, as well as in the countries of the former Soviet Union, Canada, India, South Africa, Germany, the United Arab Emirates, Latvia, Israel, and Poland. Today, the influence of the Embassy of God has spread into 100 countries.
Welcome back from the Ukraine. Hope you enjoyed the trip. Let us pray now. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, the time and the hour has come for you to manifest your glory again. Thank you, Father, for the blessing we received yesterday. Thank you, Father, for the touch and the presence of the Holy Spirit that we sense this morning. Now, Spirit of the Lord, I pray that you will charge this auditorium now with your awesome presence. Now, Satan, you know me, and you know you must obey. I project my spirit right now by faith to the right hand of the Father, and I come against principalities, powers, and every other name that might be named under heaven that is disturbing and hindering the progress of the kingdom. Now, as a sent one from above, I come against you. And I charge you now in the name of Jesus. You, Satan, and all your cohorts, I rebuke you and I command you from today. You will regress and you will retreat before the Church of the Almighty God in Australia in Jesus' name. We come against the strong men and we bind the strong men over this region and indeed over the whole of Australia. And we say you are defeated. We proclaim progress to the churches of Australia. We proclaim multiplication. We proclaim grace and increase. We proclaim insight and wisdom. We pray, oh Lord, that from this conference, that this nation will never remain the same. That there will be continuous progress by the Spirit of the Lord in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we don't want to be entertained today. We don't want to be just encouraged. We want to be changed. Now, Spirit of the Lord, take a hold of your servant and speak, O Lord, like you send rain from above and it refreshes the earth, that this word might be like a fresh dew from above to refreshing the heart and the spirit of your people. That your word this morning will be like two-edged sword that is breaking and cutting through every hindrance and every work of the enemy in the lives and ministries of your people. Now we release your word and we say that great shall be the company of those who proclaim it. Now, Spirit of God, whatsoever may be the needs in the hearts of your people, in their ministries or in their lives today, minister to them, O Lord. Cause them to have an encounter with you and let us be changed for the better by your power and your grace. In Jesus' name, and all the people of God say,
amen.
Will you give the Lord a round of applause and a shout? Thank you, Father. We bless your name. In Jesus' name. Will you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms 50. 50. Psalm 50. We are going to be reading three verses from there. Verses 1 to 3. I am preaching this morning on the topic, God has a dream. Maybe we are not used to saying or seeing God express to us his needs or his dream. But indeed, he's got a dream. Psalm 50, verses 1 to 3. Now it reads, the mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. Now, if you go back to verse 1, it says, the mighty one, that is, God the Almighty, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth. In another version of the Bible, it says, God the Almighty, the mighty one, is speaking and calling the earth. Now, it's saying God is calling the earth. For what purpose? God the Almighty, it says he's the Almighty. Why should he call the earth? And what is he calling the earth for? Now, this tells us something very significant about the nature of God. That's the dream of God. God wants to regain the whole earth back to himself. Brothers and sisters, the earth is still the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That is to say, the earth, including Australia, including, you know, paradise region of Adelaide, everywhere, the earth is still the Lord's. And God wants to reclaim it back to himself. Now, one thing that the church has failed to realize in the past few hundred of years is that God has a vision and a dream for the earth, for the redemption of the earth. Normally, the gospel that has penetrated to the church in the last few tens of years or hundreds of years is that we only preach the gospel of salvation and neglect the gospel of the kingdom. Now, what that means is we have been busy teaching the people or preaching to the world that the man needs to be saved. And when the man is saved, the man needs to be judged. And when the man is brought to our church, we don't know what to do with them again. So the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom, what differs them? What differentiates them? Well, the difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. Let me start with the gospel of salvation. The gospel of salvation is preaching, and the attention of the gospel of salvation is paid to the man for to his need for salvation. We say that the man needs to be saved, which is right. Then we say, after he is saved, you need to come to the church. Now, that is the second characteristic of the gospel of salvation. We pay attention to the church, to the detriment of the kingdom. That is to say, we don't say like that, but we kind of give the impression that the church is the kingdom of God. That is, you need to come to the church. So if you want to serve God, you need to be in the church. So if you want to have anything to do with God, it has to be in the church. So we bring the person to the church. Now, after they have come to the church, we begin to polish them and tell them you have to be holy, then you have to, which is good. Sanctification is necessary. But then after you have been sanctifying and polishing somebody for 10 years, and he's still sitting down there, and you keep on polishing him for the next 15 years, you know, of course, it is no wonder that after a few years, it becomes rebellious. Rebellious in your own terms. Why? What else do you expect from him after he's been sitting down for 10, 15 years in the same pew? Now, then, for the last decades, we began to really concentrate. The gospel of salvation has led us, because we have to find what to do to keep the people in our churches. So we began to teach them and to begin to excite them, teaching them what they want to hear. For example, God wants to bless you, which is true. And the gospel, you know, of course, the revelation on prosperity is one of the most incredible revelation that the Lord has brought to the body of Christ these last days. But then we kind of miss the point. We forget that the purpose of prosperity is not for the man, but for the kingdom. So we begin to teach the man and say, God wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. Good. And God heals them. So after God has healed him and he's okay, and he doesn't see, why am I still here? So we say, well, God wants to give you another car. Or God wants to give you another tie or another suit. Or it becomes the gospel about the man. He wants to give you a house. He wants to pay your bills. So the gospel of salvation only concentrates on the need or the needs of the man instead of the need of God. But the way I understand the Bible is that it says, seek my interest. See that my will comes to pass. My kingdom come as it is in heaven. So because of this kind of teaching, what has really happened is this. At salvation, we preach, you need Jesus. You used to be the Lord of your life. And you used to be the one on the throne of your heart. Now, you need Jesus. So people come and give their lives to Jesus. So at salvation, what happened? What happened is, God, or the man himself, removed himself. I removed myself from the throne of my heart, and I allowed Jesus to take lordship of my life. So he is now the Lord of my life. But you know what the gospel of salvation has done? We have gone around and put man and his interest back on the throne. So the reason why you go to church now is because God is doing something for you. The reason why you now pray is because, you know, you need God to answer your needs. So it is no more about God. It is now about me. So who is now the Lord? I. Using God in the process to meet my needs. So I am the champion and the God, the Lord of Lord of my life. But we don't say like that. And we don't even realize it. But we just use God. God has a dream. What is the dream of God? It says in this psalm we just read, Psalm 50, verse 1, that the mighty one, he is God Almighty. But then on the earth, here on the earth, he needs help. What is his help? What does he need? What is his dream? He's calling back the earth to himself. He wants the earth to be restored to himself. Now, what is the definition of the gospel of the kingdom? Now, the gospel of the kingdom means that, because why am I talking about the gospel of the kingdom? Each time you see Jesus commissioning his disciples to go and preach the gospel, what does he say? Go preach this gospel of what? The kingdom. For example, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it says that until this gospel of what? The kingdom is preached to everybody as a witness, it will not come back. Okay? Everywhere. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, in Luke chapter 10, in Matthew chapter 10, everywhere it says, go and preach the gospel of this kingdom. Kingdom. Well, what does that mean? We don't seem to know. The gospel of the kingdom means that the man needs to be saved because at the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, two things happened. Rather, God lost two things in the Garden of Eden. God lost the man through his fall into sin and iniquity. And the second thing God lost is that God lost the earth, which he created for the inhabitation of the man. And which was the dream of God? What was God's intent for the creation of the earth? Well, he wanted to create somebody in his own image. And that was man. And he did. He created man in his own image and in his own likeness. In his likeness, because the man needs to rule and reign somewhere. Just like God himself is Lord over the universe, the man needs to be the Lord over the earth, or the king over the earth. So God needed a place, a planet, to place the man in. And he told the man, he created a place on the earth. He created a spot that is called the Garden of Eden. Now, most people religiously think that the Garden of Eden is a physical or geographical spot on the earth. Well, I wonder why our famous archaeologists have not discovered it. Of course not. The Garden of Eden is not a physical reality. It's not a physical thing. The Garden of Eden is the spot where God brought his glory and his presence and placed the man in, so that the man will be able to spread that glory upon the whole surface of the earth. That is why he told him, after he said he created man and woman in his own image, and he blessed them. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, and subdue, replenish the earth. What should you replenish the earth with? With the glory. So they were in the glory, hence they could not see their wickedness. They were in the glory, so God said, till the ground, multiply the glory, and spread it to the end of the earth. Cover, which is the original intent or purpose in the heart of God, which we see in the prayer of Jesus. When Jesus was teaching us in Matthew chapter 9, chapter 6, verse 9, he says, pray like this, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Now, Jesus was praying that prayer in the New Testament, but it was the original intent in the heart of God. He had brought that kingdom to the Garden of Eden. Now, when man sinned, the kingdom lifted And the man became naked, the glory lifted, the kingdom lifted. So the dream of God, why he sent Jesus Christ to the world, is not just to save the man. It's all about selfishness again. It's yes, both to save the man and to restore the earth which was lost because of the sin of the man. So when he came to the earth, he came and declared to us, if you want to pray, what is prayer? Your constant desire, your constant request should be, in first and foremost, that his kingdom will come, because that was his original intent. He wanted his kingdom to cover the surface of the earth. He wanted his glory as the waters cover the sea, to cover the surface of the earth as the water covers the sea. But it was lost because of the fall of man. So he said, now your purpose and your all your life must be around the kingdom. And you must always pray like this. Always pray and wish that his will, the heartbeat of God, the dream of God will come to pass. Always pray that the purposes of the kingdom, that his kingdom shall come to pass, and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, there are two things. The gospel of the kingdom. What did Jesus mean by always saying, this gospel of the kingdom? The gospel of the kingdom. It meant the totality of the intent and purpose of God originally, which is the man that I lost in the Garden of Eden. The man fell to sin. I need to restore him to my kingdom. And the earth which I lost because of the fall of man, the glory lifted and nakedness covered the earth. And besides that, remember, after man sinned, what did God do to the earth? He cursed the earth because of man. Do you remember that in Genesis chapter 3? So when Jesus came, what is redemption? Redemption is paying for the consequence, for the wages of sin and all the consequences of it. And one of the consequences of this of sin is the curse that God put on what? On the earth. So when he came, he did not just intend that we should get saved and just go about concentrating only on the man. You need to get saved and escape the earth. And don't bother about what is going on around you. Just go to heaven. No. If that had been in purpose, he would have killed you immediately after you got saved so that you could make heaven. But why did God leave us here on the earth? First of all, something happens. Before you could call yourself a born-again, saved Christian, you must receive Jesus Christ into your heart. What does that mean? You see, the Garden of Eden is not a geographical place. The presence of the glory which lifted and saw his wickedness. So when we receive Jesus Christ into our heart, actually Jesus had already paid for the sin and the consequences of our sin on the cross. He's redeemed us. But yet, before we could be saved, we still needed to receive him as our Lord and Savior. Why? Not for us to be saved. He had already done that on the cross. But you can still not be born again until you receive him. Because when you receive Jesus, you actually receive his spirit. So his spirit brings with him the kingdom, which regenerates your spirit. And the kingdom is the glory. So the Lord, instead of creating another Garden of Eden in a physical form, here on the earth, decided to put the Garden of Eden where? Over. In your heart. That is to say, we are all, listen closely, today, because of salvation, we are restored in the Garden of Eden. That is, the glory that made the Garden of Eden to be the Garden of Eden is now resident in us. The Spirit of God that made the difference in the Garden of Eden is now where? In us. Now, listen closely. For what purpose? Just for us to be able to brag about and say, look at me, I am handsome, I have the glory in me. No. God doesn't do anything for fun, especially significant things like that. No, God did not just bring his kingdom in you so that you will even not, most of us don't even remember that we have the spirit and the kingdom and the glory in us. And you know the reason why God put that in you? That is the same reason why he left you behind after your salvation. So that you will be able to help him make his dream come to pass. So that you will now come back to the original blessing and assignment he gave to Adam. He put him in the same glory, in the same garden, and told him, be fruitful. Increase the presence. Increase the glory. Then he told him, don't just increase it a little bit. My presence, my kingdom in you. Multiply it. Then he said, now go ahead and replenish the earth. Subdue the earth through my presence, by my glory. Now, so we are now restored into the Garden of Eden. The glory is in us, and the Spirit of the Lord is in us, and God refused to kill us after he saved us. He refused to kill us because, Pastor, can you come here, please, Pastor Danny? Yeah. People love you. You see that now. Mm-hmm. Because you have the glory. So he's saying, now that I have saved you, don't worry about your salvation. Because you're already in heaven. You're already in the kingdom. So we think we just need to keep people in the church, seated in our pews, and keep on polishing them so that they make heaven. No! The kingdom of God is already in them. They're already in heaven. As long as they don't let go of God. So they don't need to strive to make heaven. They're already in it. So what is he supposed to be doing on the earth? The original assignment that was given to man by God is to replenish the earth with the glory. That assignment must not be done by Jesus. It still must be carried out by who? By man. So he brought that glory back, that presence back, that spirit back, and said, now you replenish you. Now you are now the carrier and or the courier of the glory of God. You are the carrier of the kingdom. So anywhere you go, go and subdue the earth for me. So anywhere you go, now listen closely. The danger of the message we are preaching about the man. You need salvation. You need to be healed. He said, preach the gospel and healing will happen automatically. That is not the gospel. Healing is not the gospel. Prosperity is not the gospel. The kingdom is the gospel. Yeah. And when you do that, all other things shall follow you. That's why I said, now, Danny, I saved you. You remember, I forgive you your sins. You are lost. I gave you my life in exchange of your life. I beg you now, please, seek you only. Seek you first. The only thing you should seek in your life. Never seek another car. Never seek another suit. Please, never seek a job. Never seek salary or money. The only thing you should seek after is my kingdom and his righteousness. Yeah. If you seek that, what does that mean? Now, we all know that seek you first the kingdom of God. But we don't know what it means. It means my dream originally is that my kingdom will spread. Yeah. My glory will cover the whole earth. I want to regain the earth back to myself. I lost it, but you are now my representative. Only through you, I could make my kingdom to come. So you, let it be your desire to work for my kingdom to come. Let it be your desire and your hunger and your thirst and your passion that my kingdom come. Seek it that my kingdom might come. Seek the kingdom. Seek its purposes. Seek its will. That is to say, the kingdom becomes the only legitimate reason why we are alive. It is only the purposes and the goals of the kingdom you are empowered by God, commanded by God to seek. Make my dream come to pass. Even when Jesus came and said, pray like this, that thy kingdom come. Prayer is seek. Seek. No, that the kingdom might come. And that his will might be done. So how does that happen? Well, God is very smart. He knows that the earth is a big place. So, a man cannot just go and conquer the whole earth by himself. So God saves people and puts in them some callings, some talents, some anointing, some grace. For example, can I have three more people come forward? Three more people come forward. Three more people come forward. It's okay. Now, God said, I called you and I gave you the potential to be an entrepreneur, businessman, business executive. I called you to be an educator, so you're a professor. I called you to be maybe a sportsman. Yeah. And I call you to be a preacher. Now, the reason why God is distributed, you remember, in Romans and in Corinthians, he said he has distributed to each member according to his grace. So everybody has a portion of grace from God, and everybody is having a specific gifting from God. Everybody's got a talent. Now, what does that mean? When God brings you out from the world, it is because he knows that potentially you are the one that with the giftings that he has put in you, with the talents he has put in you, potentially only through you, he could reach the sportsman of that particular area that he has called you to. But what do we do? When people come to church, we say, you are called. You need to become a preacher. No, he doesn't need to become a preacher. He needs to become a champion. That is why your guy, that's why I'm so encouraged by your church. You are doing the right thing. This is the gospel of 21st century. Now, the purpose and the goal of the kingdom, of the church, therefore, is to help identify in every member their sphere of influence and their area of calling. Now, I call it the land of promise. Now, you know, everything that happens in the Old Testament is a symbol of the things in the future to come, of our life today. So everything, whenever you read about the land of promise, the children of Israel were given the land of promise, the Canaanite, it is talking about you. Oh, God. Listen closely. God is trying to tell you, just like I delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, I delivered you from your own Egypt. And I gave them a goal. You are never delivered for nothing. Deliverance must have a goal. And the goal of the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt was for them to do what? To go and subdue a land for him. And when God saves you, he wants you to have the same understanding. Because you are seeing the shadow of the Old Testament and of the things to come of you, that you have been delivered from your Egypt with a purpose. You must now discover what is your territory, what is your land of promise. And my brother, I'm so happy for you that your land of promise is Adelaide. But in the place of like a speaker, or it's Australia or whatever, God, like a preacher. So you are a pastor, you discover you are a pastor. Then God gives you a territory. Some pastors are supposed to subdue just a locality. Some people are supposed to subdue a nation. Some people are supposed to subdue the body of Christ worldwide. But then when you are saved, God calls you and he wants you to go with a purpose. You see, the whole strife and the whole struggle of the children of Israel in the wilderness is to prepare them to be able to go and bring the presence of God to the land of promise. He has his own land of promise. So in the church will help him pass through the wilderness stages of his life. The church will equip him with faith. The church will equip him with, you know, with understanding, that he might see the giftings in him and the calling and the area of the, so that he might be able to identify the sphere of life and the land of promise which God has called him to. The same thing, he has to know and realize that this education I have is not for me to be able to get better salary. Because of the gospel of salvation that we preach. Right now we have people going to job, going to work, only to, for money. Listen closely. If you work for salary, you are a poor person. Because it means you are trying to survive. And as long as you are trying to survive, you will never really dominate in life. A survivor never rules. A survivor struggles through life. You are not called to struggle through life. You are called to rule and reign in life. Anybody listening to me? So why do I go? Why do I need that job? Why did I go to that job? Well, because I identified that is the area of calling God has for me. That is my promised land. I am an artist. Because I paint. Because that is my area of calling. That is what God has called me. I should conquer the earth. I should subdue that sphere of life. And through it, release the glory. And cover the glory. And cover the earth. That sphere, that area of life, with the glory of the Lord. Just like it says, the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And that is why success, as we preach success and achievement in charismatic circles, but we don't seem to know the goal of success and achievement. God said, yes, it's true, be the head and not the tail. Not so that I will go about and make me sit in the first row or second row. No. Be the head and the tail, and not the tail, the first and not the last. Just because when I become first in my area of influence, it is easier for me to be listened to. People listen to you when you are the head. For the purpose of you imposing the principles of the kingdom to that whole area. Are you listening to me? So what is the church? The church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. What does that mean? This is the place where we use. This is the foundation from where we release conquerors and liberators to the world. So from here we equip them to because the earth is so big. And we have thousands of spheres of life. Somebody needs to be an artist, media, politician, or some. So the church is supposed to be the breeding ground for deliverers. So in my church, I have organized our church in such a way that if there is no one that doesn't know what he's been created to do, that is, you must identify. I've trained them to identify what sphere of life they are supposed to conquer and return to God, because that's the dream of God. The dream of God, he wants to gain back the earth. And I lost it in the Garden of Eden because of your sin. I want to regain it. Please, I am calling to the earth. Help me regain it. Help me regain it. I'm calling back the earth. So I train all my members. The person who is supposed to go into politics knows his calling and anointing is for politics. So that's the only reason they pray. That is what they pray for. That is what they strive for. That is what they work for. That is why they make money. That is why they fast. That is their whole goal, to bring God back into that area of life. Our businessmen, I don't allow them just to go to business and bring me tithes and offering. I say, take your money, filthy. I'm sorry. Because You don't just work for money and give me tithes and offering. You are created for a greater purpose. What greater purpose? You are supposed to conquer the land, the area of money. And not with tithes and offering. It's for him. And if you have an area of influence, I mean, for example, there are different areas of business. For example, your area of business is steel or oil. Well, the goal is not for you to go and make money and bring to the church only. That's a secondary. But the primary thing is that you, as the kingdom carrier and as God's representative, you have been sent to that sphere of life over the oil industry, so that the principles of God, righteousness, justice, the fear of God, holiness, joy, peace, will stream down to that oil industry, and people will be liberated because you are there. So the gospel of the kingdom, therefore, is that the man that is saved is brought to the church to be equipped on Sunday, but is to be equipped for his ministry that begins on Monday. And he goes not just to work and keep his family, small thinking, ridiculous, insult to God. But it's for you to be encouraged by people like us who are precious, and to say you can take that land, you can win that idol, Australia idol title, you can be the politician, you can win that senator that senate seat, and you can win that best place in the parliament, you can do that thing in the business, you can become the best, you are a God representative. God has put himself in you, and he has limited himself by you, so that through you his kingdom might come, and so that he might regain back the earth to himself. Thank you. Now let's go back to Psalm 50. Now you are ready to understand my message. That was the introductory. So, in our church, we never do evangelism. And we never do crusades, because that is for the world. You know, that's for evangelists. So, how does our church grow? And we have had over 1 million people coming with their feet to give their lives right at our altar. Over 1 million people in 10 years. Now, how does that happen? Because whenever you are after the nation and after the earth, salvation becomes cheap. Salvation, altar calls become easy. Because people are going to their spheres of life to conquer it. And they have millions of people there. So they are subduing it totally. So people are just coming automatically to church. So growing a church becomes easy. Because that's not the goal. The goal is for the kingdom. So people see me, they say, this is Pastor Sunday from Kyiv. I said, it's because you don't know me. I am not Pastor Sunday in Kyiv. I don't pastor a church. I deliver a nation. I am sent by God to deliver a land and to subdue it by the glory. You are supposed to be the same thing. Every one of us is to be a deliverer. Every one of us is to be a Moses in his own class. Maybe the area you are delivering might be art or sports or entertainment or media or something, but you are a deliverer in your own class. I will continue on that in the second service. But verse 1 of Psalm 50 says, the mighty one, God the Lord, he is speaking and calling the earth. That is his dream. Oh, he's saying to you, oh my church, when will you be aware of the fact that I so much want to regain the earth back to myself? Don't leave the earth to the ungodly people. Don't leave my creation to the unrighteous to trample on their feet. I have called you, filled you with my spirit. I have given you the power and the authority. Take it back from me. Take it back from me. Jesus gave his life for that purpose. Oh, church, don't be egocentric. Don't be selfish. Just go for it. Go and win the earth back to myself. It is the cry of my heart. The cry and the dream of God is that the earth will be restored back to him. Now, listen closely. How will he do it? What is the strategy of God to do this? verse 2 of Psalm 50. The answer is, out of Zion. What is Zion, my brother? Zion is the church. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23, it says, for you have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the company of angels. You have come to the city of the living God. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to the general assembly. You have come to the church of the firstborn that is registered in heaven. Therefore, Zion, Mount Zion, is the church of the firstborn registered in heaven. So, God is saying, how is he calling back the earth to himself? Verse 2, out of Zion. The church, therefore, becomes the hope of God. And the only source through which the earth could be regained. So, he's saying, out of Zion. Don't just live for yourself, church. Out of Zion. Now, look how it describes Zion. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. Let somebody say the perfection of beauty. Oh my. The church can never be glorified until we become the perfection of beauty. God wants to use the church to win back the earth, to recover the earth. But if we don't know that God wants to beautify us, and that we are the hope of the world. We are not the sickly, the weakling that needs to be taken care of. We are not the ones that need deliverance. We are the ones to be bringing deliverance to nations. We are supposed to be the perfection of beauty. Then look what it says in the latter part of verse 2. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. God will shine forth. Who shines? How does God shine? Out of Zion, there is no way for our God. Though he is almighty in verse 1, though he is God of God in verse 1, but there is no way for him to shine but through you and me. That is why all pastors in the world are dreaming of how to grow their church. But my only dream is how to empty my church. I am emptying it. All over to go. I'm scattering them. I am beating them, pounding them every Sunday to go out and restore the world and restore the earth and claim back the earth for the Lord. You don't need to sit down here for years. So people who are 3 years old are already pastors and ministers, and we have apostles to politics, we have apostles to industry, we have apostles to commerce, we have apostles to sports, we have apostles. Any sphere of life you take in Ukraine, you have our people there by the wisdom of God. Out of Zion. Out of Zion. Out of Zion. The perfection of beauty. The Lord will shine forth. He's waiting for me and you before he could shine. Will you let him shine? Open Psalm 110 with me, please. Psalm 110. Psalm 110. From verses 1 to 3. It says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be willing in the day of your power. Now listen close, this church. I'm rounding it up. This is a prophetic passage where God Almighty is telling the Lord Jesus, after he has resurrected from the dead, from the dead, and he has come back from the earth, and God was telling Jesus, sit at my right hand. Sit at my right hand till I make all your enemies your footstool. So God is planning to make all the enemies of Jesus his footstool. Now, how is he going to do it? Verse 2, the Lord, that God, shall send the rod or the scepter of your strength out of where? Out of Zion. Church, you are supposed to be the scepter of God's strength. What are you doing? It is through you that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is through you that his kingdom shall come to the earth as it is in heaven. It is through you that the earth should be restored. He said, out of Zion, He will send forth the rod of your strength. Then God shall say to Jesus, because the church is doing it, God shall say to Jesus, rule in the midst of your enemies. When would that be? And how can that be possible? Verse 3, he says, your people shall be willing in the day of your power. The only thing that could stop that, the only thing that could disturb it, is if the people of God will not be willing. Will his people be willing in Australia today? Will his people be willing to go for him? Will his people be willing to go to every sphere of the society? You know, we should begin to train our church differently. Our church is differently. Training them to know why they are here on the earth. Not just here for fun. You are supposed to conquer a promised land and put a Shiloh there, that is a tabernacle there of the glory, before you go to heaven. You should not leave this earth without putting a stamp and a page of history that yes, you could identify what piece of land you have brought to the Lord and where is the tabernacle. Because when people take a piece of land in the Old Testament, they must put a monument or a tabernacle, so that it's a sign that the Lord has come to rule and reign here. Where will the sign be that you have come to rule and reign? I hope God will not be disappointed that he sent you this way. The last scripture, and I finish. Open Isaiah 49 with me, please. Isaiah 49, verse 8. Isaiah 49, verse 8. Are you there? In an acceptable time, I have heard you. God is talking to us about the time of redemption. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Who did God help in the day of salvation here? Did God save you in the day of salvation? Yes. Now, what is the purpose? Why did God save us? I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people. So, he wants to give every one of us as a covenant to a certain group of people. Now, for what purpose? To what? Restore what? The earth. God said, I heard you in the time of salvation, and I listened to you in the time of acceptable time, so that you might restore the earth. Did you see that in verse 8? I have accepted time, I've heard you. In the day of salvation, I help you. I preserve you and give you as a covenant so that you may restore the earth. Let somebody say, restore the earth. Restore the earth. Restore the earth. Say it. I was saved and preserved to be the restorer of the earth. God sent me to restore.